ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड प्रह्लाद द सेंटली सन ऑफ हिरण्यकशिपु टेक्स्ट नंबर 14। यथा यथा ब्राह्म्यतयो ब्रह्मन् स्वयं आकर्ष सन्निधौ तथा मे भिद्यते चेतः चक्रपाणेर्यदृच्छया। यथा ब्राह्म्यतयो ब्रह्मन् स्वयं आकर्ष सन्निधौ तथा मे भिद्यते चेतः चक्रपाणेर्यदृच्छया। यथा भ्राम्यत्ययो ब्रह्मन् स्वयं आकर्ष सन्निधौ तथा मे भिद्यते चेतः चक्रपाणेर्यदृच्छया। As iron attracted by a magnetic stone moves automatically towards the magnet, my consciousness, having been changed by his will, is attracted by Lord Vishnu, who carries a disc in his hand. Thus, I have no independence. For iron, to be attracted by a magnet is natural. Similarly, for all living entities, to be attracted towards Krishna is natural. And therefore, the Lord's real name is Krishna, meaning he who attracts everyone and everything. The typical examples of such attractions are found in Vrindavan, where everything and everyone is attracted by Krishna. The elderly persons like Nand Maharaj and Yashoda Devi, the friends like Sridama, Sudama and other cowherd boys, the gopis like Srimati Radharani and her associates, and even the birds, the beasts, cows and calves are attracted. The flowers and fruits in the gardens are attracted. The waves of Yamuna are attracted, and the land, the sky, the trees, the plants, animals and all other living beings are attracted by Krishna. This is the natural situation of everything in Vrindavan. Just contrary to the affairs of Vrindavan is the material world, where no one is attracted by Krishna and everyone is attracted by Maya. This is the difference between the spiritual and the material worlds. Hiranyakashipu, who was in the material world, was attracted by women and money, whereas Prahlad Maharaj, being in his natural position, was attracted by Krishna. In replying to Hiranyakashipu's question about why Prahlad Maharaj had a deviant view, Prahlad said that his view was not deviant, for the natural position of everyone is to be attracted by Krishna. Hiranyakashipu found his view deviant, Prahlad said, because of being unnaturally unattracted by Krishna. Hiranyakashipu therefore needed purification. As soon as one is purified of material contamination, he is again attracted by Krishna. Sarvopadhi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam. In material world, everyone is contaminated by the dirt of sense gratification and is acting according to different designations, sometimes as a human being, sometimes a beast, sometimes a demigod or tree, and so on. One must be cleansed of all these designations. Then one will be naturally attracted to Krishna. The bhakti process purifies the living entity of all unnatural attractions. When one is purified, he is attracted by Krishna and begins to serve Krishna instead of serving Maya. This is his natural position. A devotee is attracted by Krishna, whereas a non-devotee, being contaminated by the dirt of material enjoyment, is not. This is confirmed by Lord in Bhagavad Gita 7.28. Yesham Tvantagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam Te Dvanda Moha Nirmukta Bhajante Mam Dhuravata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and who are freed from the dualities of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. One must be freed from all the sinful dirt of material existence. Everyone in this material world is contaminated by material desires. Unless one is free from all material desire, anya bhilashita shunyam, one cannot be attracted by Krishna. Hare Krishna. So here, Prahlad Maharaj is expressing to his teachers that he is giving an analogy that just like an iron is naturally attracted by a magnet, and all of us in our school days have done this experiment of some iron filings and magnet, and we see that they get naturally attracted. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that my consciousness is naturally attracted towards Lord Vishnu, the holder of Sudarshan disc. So this is material world. Once His Holiness Siddhartha Maharaj was here and he was explaining the nature of Maya. He was telling that we say we have been bound by Maya in this material world, but actually we ourselves have got ourselves bound. He was giving this analogy. It's just like somebody, if he is holding a tree and he is saying, shouting, free me, please release me, please free me. But what we see is he himself is holding the tree. No one else has tied him down to a tree. He himself has to give it up. Similarly, although we may say Maya has bound us, in one sense it is, but it's we who chose and got bound by the Maya. And now once we are bound by the Maya, it's very difficult to get free from it. But here in this verse, we see two different, completely diagonally opposite opinions or thought processes. Hiranyakashipu is finding the thought process of Prahlad deviant. And Prahlad is saying, mine is not deviant, but your process is actually deviant. So this is always found in material world, always between devotees and non-devotees. Devotees think that non-devotees are wasting their time, and non-devotees think that devotees are wasting their time. Non-devotees think devotees are gone mad, and devotees think, unfortunately, that they are pursuing mad goals of sense gratification. This is like a gentlemanly way to say that they are pursuing the goals which are not very intelligent. So always we see this completely diagonally opposite views between the devotees and non-devotees of the Supreme Lord, because both of them are in completely different states of consciousness. And another point which we can understand from this verse is that, just like as today's morning I was hearing this shloka, Prabhupada says, said by Brahmaji, that E Anne Arvindaksha Vimukta Manina, that those who think that they are God only liberated, they are actually Vimukta Manina, they are thinking that way. And there is no process just liberated. Either they have to take shelter of Yoga Maya or they have to take shelter of Mahamaya in this material world. And as the analogy is given of a magnet, another analogy came to my mind, which can be observed very practically in our day-to-day life, is all of us, this physical bodies, or all of us, our bodies, are right now within the purview or the realm of the influence of the gravitational force of the earth. Although externally no one is tying us, but it's very difficult to get out of this gravitational field of earth. We can't jump and say, no, I am going out. However high we may go, as was said, even aeroplane, however high we go, We have to come back. And even sometimes we might go very far off in the form of rockets and something like that. But ultimately the human being has to come back up till now to the earth. So, in one sense, if we observe this earth, all of us are bound by its gravitational force. However big, free, maybe we may go very high, aeroplane, rocket, space, or so-called claimed moon or anywhere. But we have to come back. Similarly, it's very difficult to go out of this influence of gravitational force. Similarly, Maya keeps us in this material world, completely controlled. And because of no modern scientific advancement, those who have learned some science up till 10th or even 12th class can understand that yes, because of modern rockets, they are sending some satellites out of the gravitational force of Earth. They call it some going out, escape velocity or something, that they have to go by some specific speed. But if we observe, just to send a satellite, say of 1000 kgs or something like that, what is the effort that's required to send it out of the Earth's influence of gravitation? Huge rockets of 20, 30 story high, thousands and lakhs of liters of fuels, so much heat, everything is being generated. Just to send some 1000 kgs of mass outside the Earth's gravitational force. This Maya is also similarly very strong. To get out of Maya, just to take one soul out of Maya, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, you have to spend gallons of blood to make one person to devotee. Just like you have to spend billions of gallons of diesel or fuel to send some object out of Earth's gravitational field. Here we have to spend gallons of blood, as Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, to just make one person and get free from this influence of energy of Maya. It's so difficult. And so much trouble is going to happen. So much struggle, fight. This is sadhana bhakti. As Prahlada Maharaj is saying, to shift from in the material world, it's very natural to forget Krishna, as we have all experienced. And for Prahlada, he is saying, it's very natural to remember Krishna. As we see the gopis in Vrindavan, in their devotional ecstasies, one time they sat down to do meditation, not to remember Krishna, but to remove Krishna from their heart. In their ecstatic love, they are saying that this Krishna has come into my consciousness and he is creating too much disturbances. And so I want to forget him for some time, remove him. But they could not do it. Krishna remained in their consciousness, in their hearts. And here it's very natural to forget Krishna. We have practical experience in our sadhana bhakti. We are now practicing devotional service, some of us, for 10, 20 years. We have to take so much effort to remember some bhajans or some shlokas about Lord Shri Krishna. But without any effort, we easily remember our previous music, which we have heard 10, 20 years back. And sometimes some devotees told me that even by singing some tunes of bhajans or Hare Krishna mantra, they remember some curious music. So, we can observe it's very natural in this material world to forget Krishna. And on the other side, we see this Mukund Ghosh, I might have mistaken the name. He just saw the peacock feather fan of that Muslim king in West Bengal. And he remembered Krishna, naturally. So we see this completely opposite psychologies or consciousness existing in this world. So this is two different ways, and we should understand to get free from this Maya, just like a rocket has to be manufactured and sent up. Sadhana Bhakti is like a struggle like that. Sadhana Bhakti is easy in Kali Yuga, but still, just like it was struggle for if we get Bhakti very easily, sometimes people have asked, why don't we get it easily? If we get something very easily, it might happen that we might give it up again. We may take it very cheaply. Therefore, although this Krishna consciousness is a very easy process, but the struggle is there. Because the previous processes of previous ages are impossible process. Lord Krishna, just like we say, sometimes Krishna gives test in bhakti. People ask, why the tests are little difficult? He knows our capacity. And he gives the test. If we do some hard work, we can pass it. He doesn't give too difficult test, which is impossible to pass. He doesn't give too easy test, which is not exactly a test. Similarly, process suggested in each yuga is like that. If we are told the process of Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, or even Dwapar Yuga, just Archana worship to the highest standard is practically impossible in this age. No one can perform it, either of the three processes. So Krishna has given such a process, Lord Shri Krishna, that there needs to be some activity, some trouble, some effort from the side of the soul. And ultimately the benediction comes from Krishna. When Krishna says, oh, he is putting so much trouble, just to achieve me, get free from Maya, Krishna helps. But some struggle has to be put. It's just like getting out of this influence of earth, gravitational force. And for that we require Guru's help and our own sadhana bhakti. Guru Krishna prasade paaye bhakti lata beej. These both are required. We have to put our own effort and also the mercy of spiritual master. So here, this sadhana bhakti, although it's little difficult, but as Lord promises, Lord Ram, that if someone, he says to Vibhishana or Hanuman or Sugriv, that even if Ravan comes and tells me, oh Lord Ram, I surrender to you, I'll accept him. So similarly, yes, for some lifetime, maybe one lifetime, Lord may expect us, please perform sadhana bhakti. Please fight with the material conditionings. Please fight with the three modes of nature, your previous attractions to the Maya. But if you perform that, while all these, if one continues to express, oh Lord, although my condition nature is very strong, but at this point I am surrendering to you. So if Lord Ram promises, if Ravan also comes, then I will accept him. Then why not? The Lord will accept a devotee who is sincerely practicing or trying, striving to achieve him. This sadhana bhakti, as it is said somewhere in the shops, they put up ki samay ke pehle aur samay se jyada kuch kisko milta nahi hai. So this sadhana bhakti is a process which takes some time to ripen. It's just like a child learning to walk. When a child is a small boy, say 1 year old or 8 months old, he starts learning to walk. Initially he holds something and stands up. Then he falls down. Then again he holds. That's natural. As his body is growing, naturally he starts trying to stand up. And then take a single step. Then the next step, as we remember, Srila Prabhupada, who was in US for the initial days, when he saw this bridge, the son of Gopal Agarwal, standing up and starting to walk, he celebrated. He was very happy. But this everyone undergoes. Even to learn to walk, all of us have undergone some trouble. We have all started, stood up, fallen down, stood up, fallen down, took few dangling steps initially, holding hand, and then on our own, then we see they start walking. And once you have attained some age of 2 years or 3 years, then we don't have to undergo all this practice. It becomes very natural for us. Similarly, Rupa Goswami says, sadhana bhakti is like that. Effort has to be done and time has to be given. But if we continue these two things, putting more effort and giving some time, patience, same principles are repeated. Utsahat, nishchayat, dhairyat. We have to give some patience, dhairya. But at the same time, we have to put efforts with great enthusiasm. Then, surely, in due course of time, all of us will achieve the desired state of pure devotional service. Another example which is given in this respect of sadhana bhakti is like a ripening of mango. Mangoes on the tree are initially unripe, green, sour, hard maybe. In due course of time, but also there is one more element in the ripening of mangoes. Mango requires a lot of heat to ripen. Not only time. We know it's beginning of April and we are all having some inconveniences of the summer season, humidity, sweating. But the same heat, the more the heat, the mangoes ripe faster and better. They become more sweet. So it's the same heat which is giving us trouble, which will also produce the nice sweet mangoes. If there is no heat, if atmosphere becomes cloudy, rainy, the mangoes doesn't come out very nice. Similarly, sadhana bhakti, we have to put up some heat, some effort to chant attentively, to do some service, to give up our ego and become humble. That's very difficult job. But we have to put some effort to do it. And if we go on doing it in due course of time, certainly, for sure, our fruit of devotional service, the ripe fruit, will be achieved. Here, in the next point, Srila Prabhupada is saying that identification with one's own body. We understand, and sometimes some academic scholars of outside field, some of them appreciate Srila Prabhupada's books, but some of them accuse Srila Prabhupada of repeating the same thing again and again. They say, a scholar, he will just say the things once and he... But we see in Prabhupada's books, especially in his lectures, Prabhupada is always telling us the main point, that we are not these bodies. Recently I was reading that Transcendental Diary by Indranath Swami Maharaj, and he and another disciple of Prabhupada, I forgot the name, both of them have attended Srila Prabhupada's lecture, first time, the same lecture in their life. First time they heard Prabhupada was the same lecture, Indranath Maharaj and some another devotee. And now they are sharing, do you remember that lecture which we heard maybe 30-35 years back? He said, yes. Which point do you remember? And they both remembered the same point. And Prabhupada was telling, believe me when I say that you are not these bodies. The simple point both of them were remembering, because Prabhupada said with so much realization and so much emphasis that went straight into the heart. And Prabhupada says this every time, almost in every lecture, he says. So it's just like sometimes a teacher is teaching a student, like anything, music or writing or whatever it is, cooking. If the student is not learning some one step, the teacher has to say it again and again and again. It may not matter, teacher is saying 10 times or 100 times or 1000 times. Till the time the student is learning, the same step has to be told. Or another thing may happen is teacher will give up on the student, that he is not going to learn. So actually it's Srila Prabhupada's mercy. We may think he is telling it again and again. But if we see, in spite of hearing from him in every lecture, reading in his book practically every page, or at least every 2-3 page, we will see there is some mention that we are not his bodies. Many of us have read, or we will be a little happy or proud that I have read all of Srila Prabhupada's books. At least the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya-charitamrita, and the small books. So we have read that we are not his bodies at least 1000 times, or maybe more. But if we analyze how much actually we have understood, practically, we are not his bodies, and how much we are able to live accordingly. So much we hear in Bhagavad Gita, as one who is self-realized, he is not influenced by joy or becomes all these different things, and so many things are there describing the position of a liberated soul. But if we analyze, although we have heard, to live accordingly is very difficult. So Srila Prabhupada is merciful. He is seeing that my students are not learning, and he is not giving up on us. These are not going to learn. I told them once that you are not a body, but they are not learning. So I give up teaching them. But Prabhupada is merciful. He is telling us again. Actually, it becomes very frustrating, those who have got a teaching experience. When we teach once, twice, thrice, four times, five times, 10 times, and if the student still not learning, and then the teacher says, okay, chhod do, give it up. But Prabhupada is so patient, so tolerant, that in spite of his telling us that we are not a simple truth, we are not a human, we are not his bodies, but we are spirit souls, because he knew that we are not going to understand it in 1 or 10 or 100 times, he is telling it again and again and again. So it's not that he is repeating the same message, but that is required, because in instead of having repeated it so many times, we are not learning it. As Lord Chaitanya says in that famous verse, Naham vipro na cha narapatir, napi vaishyo na shudro, naham varni na cha grahapatir na vanastho yatirva, kitndu prodhyan nikhilatma purnamrutabdir, gopi bharchur, pada kamalur das dasanudas. This verse gives the complete truth about not being this body. I am neither Brahman, Vaishya, Shudra, Kshatriya, Brahmachari, Gurustha, Vanprastha, Sannyas. At one point, we are discussing, this point was quite good, Krishna then inspired the point to come up, that it's difficult in this ashram to remember Krishna, it's difficult to that ashram, or Brahmachari, or Sannyasi, or as once that question was asked to, I think, Kadam Kanand Maharaj, when he was here, Maharaj, for Grahasthas, it's very easy to get attracted by Maya or forget Krishna. I can say it may be only 0.00001% either ways. We can't say either. It's difficult to remember Krishna in any ashram. It's not a question of ashram. It's very easy to remember our ashram, but very difficult to remember Krishna. It's very easy. It's very easy to remember our profession, Brahman or whatever it is, Vaishya, I'm a businessman. So some people say, oh, in Brahmana's life is easy to remember Krishna. No, in Brahmana's life is easy to for a conditioned soul to remember that I am a Brahman. But to remember Krishna is difficult in everywhere. That is material world. So we may think, or someone may think, he is Brahmachari or Sannyasi. Practically speaking, the difference is almost negligible. The difficulty to remember Krishna is same in all ashramas. So difficulty to remember Krishna is same in all varnas. Some difference may be here and there. That's very negligible. The great is just like a distance to be covered from here to the moon, and then the difference of between two parties is 1 millimeter. That is negligible, and it can mean either ways. We can't say. So Lord Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita that's what he is saying. Sarvopadhi vinir muktam. We have to forget all our designations, and Srila Prabhupada is making this point. One must be cleansed of all these designations. And until one is cleansed of all these designations, he cannot remember Krishna. So, this is a state of not only physical existence, but a state of mental disposition and egoistic behavior. Physically, we may have to give up the designations, but also mentally we have to give up. And also egoistically. When all three levels we give up our designations, then only we can remember Krishna. Not only externally, but when completely, in reality we give up designations of any ashram, varna, profession, or sex, or even species. All designations when we give up, Prabhupada says, only after that, somewhere he was saying, yeah, unless one is not free from material desires, anya bilashita shunyam, one cannot be attracted by Krishna. So this is the central point, to be attracted by Krishna. And that attraction has to be cultivated, has to be attempted, has to be tried. That is the whole essence of devotional service. Somehow or other one should be attracted to Krishna. That's what Srila Prabhupada is saying. It's completely contrary. Prahlad Maharaj was not forgetting Krishna, and Hiranyakashipu was saying this is very wrong. And he was thinking to enjoy this world is very correct, forgetting Krishna. And Prahlad was saying that is a deviant view. And how to remember Krishna and how it is important, we see when Akrura, sometimes even though we might have material desires, it's still better to remember Krishna. As it is said, Akamava Sarva Kamava. It's better to remember Krishna without desires, but it's okay, it's better to remember Krishna with desires than not to remember Him. So Akrur, when he was going to Vrindavan from Mathura, having been sent by Kamsa to get Krishna, Akrur was a devotee, and he was remembering Krishna. He was thinking how Krishna is so merciful. He has given, he was thinking, I cannot understand Krishna. If somebody offers Krishna even small thing, Krishna reciprocates in such a big way. He says, I don't know exactly this story, but Akrura was saying this. If somebody knows this story, they can add up in the end. That Akrura was saying, Indra, He just offered Lord once some little water and Lord accepted him. His water and also in Indra as a devotee. Said Bali Maharaj, what he offered to the Lord Vamandev, logically speaking, nothing. Three footsteps of land. Bali Maharaj said, okay, you take three footsteps of land. If we see practically, are three footsteps of land any useful? Because if we stand, we already occupy two of them. So only one is remaining other than that. So basically you can't sleep even in three footsteps of land. But that's what was offered by Bali Maharaj to Lord Vamande. But Vamande accepted him. And what he gave him? He gave him a position actually better than Indra. Indra thought, I have won, I got back my kingdom, I got back my swarga. But actually what Bali Maharaj got was better than swarga in two ways. Although Bali Maharaj's lok is Sutal lok, which is technically a subterranean, lower planetary system, but the opulence there is actually much more than the opulence in the heavenly kingdom. And that is not a real victory of Bali Maharaj. The real victory is on the Sutal lok. The Lord Vamandev is always present with Bali Maharaj. That is a real victory. Certainly he has more opulence than Indra. That is also there. But a more real victory of Bali Maharaj is the Lord Vamandev is always there to associate with him. And Akrur is thinking, what did Bali do for this? Bali just offered three footsteps of land. And what did he got? He got Sutal Lok, materially more opulent than Swarga Lok, Krishna personally present over there. Then he thought, gopis, and Akrur is thinking all these things. Then he says, gopis, when they were dancing with Krishna to satisfy him, they got tired. And their faces were decorated with pearl-like sweat. And Lord Krishna personally wiped that sweat, and by his fragrant hand, all of the gopis were refreshed from their tiredness. And Akrur is thinking, Lord's hands are capable to give any benedictions to anyone. In this mood of always thinking the compassionate nature of Lord, Akrur was walking towards Vrindavan. And because he was thinking of Krishna, he even did not realize how the day passed. He started in the morning, and by the time he reached Vrindavan, it was evening, sun was setting in by the time he came to the boundary of Vrindavan. Those who know, it doesn't take so long, but he did not even remember how my day went, just because he was always thinking of Krishna. And as soon as he entered the boundary of Vrindavan, what he saw? The sun was setting. He saw the footprints of cows, calves, and in between them, the footprints of Lord Shri Krishna, decorated with a mark of flag, lotus, and all these his auspicious signs. As soon as Akrur saw these footprints of Krishna from his chariot, he immediately came down and started rolling in the dust. He put his face on the ground where the footprints of Krishna were there. And his hair stood on end, he started trembling. In this way, Akrur went to Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada is saying, this is the way to achieve Lord Shri Krishna. We cannot go to holy place. In the Kartik, there may be again a Vrindavan Yatra. So this is, we can remember till that time. Prabhupada is telling, we cannot go to holy place just by purchasing a ticket, a train ticket, flight ticket. Prabhupada is saying, we have to learn from Akrur how he is entering Vrindavan, how he is traveling to Vrindavan. He said Akrur was always anticipating, thinking of Krishna, anticipating his mercy while traveling to Vrindavan. And as soon as he came to Vrindavan, he saw the dust of Vrindavan. He saw the hoofprints of cows, calves and Krishna and his friends. He immediately offered full obeisances and started rolling in the dust of Vrindavan, not thinking, I am a Akrur, I am minister of Kamsa, I am a big man. Prabhupada says, when we enter Vrindavan, we have to give up all our material designations. You may be very big in eyes of all other people. As Rupa Goswami says, these common people call me a Pandit, but actually I don't know who am I. Narottam Das Thakur says, Vishaya Chadiya Kabe, Shuddha Hame Bana, Kabe Hama Heribo, Shivrundavana. That Prabhupada says, until one give up this, our designations, then our entering of Vrindavan is not completely successful. Yeah, we might get some benefits here and there, but to get full benefit of any pilgrimage to a holy place before entering, as Akrur is showing, we have to always think of the Supreme Lord, His pastimes, and immediately fall complete obeisances when we enter there. Actually, I would just like to take up one more point, which is connected to Hiranyakashipu also, which is coming up, is that this point is from Vishnu Puran, quoted by Rupa Goswami in Laghu Bhagavatamrut. In the Vishnu Puran, Maitreya Muni is asking Parashar Muni, which question which might come to us, and this is nicely clarified over here. He is asking Parashar Muni that how come Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyakashipu, but especially Hiranyakashipu, both of them, after even being killed by Lord Himself, they did not get liberated and they took birth as a Ravan. And in fact, they become more materially opulent. And Ravan was much more opulent than even demigods and all these things. He was having Lanka of gold, was so proud. And then again he took birth as Shishupal, who was also very materially opulent. But then why did he got liberated after 3 births? And Parashar Muni, he is explaining that when Hiranyakashipu was there on the earth, he failed to recognize Nrsimhadev as the Supreme Lord. Even though Nrsimhadev appeared after being challenged from the pillar, he was thinking he is some ordinary human being, or ordinary living entity who has achieved so much power because of some pious activities. And being overcome by a mode of passion, he could not understand the form of the Lord. And therefore, when he was killed by Nrsimhadev, then he again took birth as Ravan and had proprietorship over unlimited opulences. Ravan got so much material opulences and enjoyment that again he could not accept Ram as a Supreme God. He would always call that mere human being. We see Ravan would not indicate Ram as Supreme God. He is a human being. Because of his opulences, he became so much mad, Ravan, that he could not think or recognize Ram as a God. In fact, he was attracted towards Janaki, energy of God. But because of that attraction, what he got was he got an audience with Lord Ram. But again, he was killed by Lord Ram. And because he could not accept Lord Ram as the Supreme God, incarnation of Vishnu, again he has to take birth of Shishupal, where he again got immense opulences. But at least in this birth, he was thinking himself to be a competitor of Krishna. He was thinking this Krishna is lower and I am better. He was envious of Krishna. And therefore, although Shishupala was always envious of Krishna, we see Ram and Ravan, they were not constantly just thinking he is a human. They could not recognize the Supreme Lord properly. Here, Shishupal was recognizing, but he was still envious. And therefore, he was always chanting the names of Krishna. And he was concentrating on the beautiful features of Krishna and thinking that how I am more beautiful than Krishna. How I am more opulent than Krishna. So he was thinking on Krishna and his features and not trying to defeat him something. He was thinking of Krishna and his features and trying to outdo him. And because of even unfavorably thinking of Krishna completely, Parashar Muni says that he got purified. And when in the end, Sudarshan Chakra of Krishna killed Shishupal, the touch of Sudarshan Chakra dissolved whatever remaining reactions was remaining, and he attained the salvation. So Prabhupada continues, from this incident, one can understand, even a person who thinks of Krishna as an enemy and is killed by him is liberated by merging into his body. And Prabhupada says, what then must be the designations for the devotees who are also thinking of Krishna always and are trying to surrender to him? And the discussion goes on between Maitreya Muni and Parashar Muni. And then in the end, another question is raised, that every time, that in every millennium, this Jain Vijay come down to become Hiranyakashipu, Ravan, Kumbhakaran, Shishupal, Dantavakra. Prabhupada explains that Parashar Muni, he does not mention anything like that. He says these are 3 just demons birth. Not that every, to, and Prabhupada clarifies that to think that some associates of Krishna come into every millennium as demons is a wrong understanding. So not that every time Jain Vijay they come, they just come sometimes. And what is that sometimes? Prabhupada continues further. He says, the demons who fight with God in this material world are sometimes devotees of Krishna. When there is a scarcity of demons in the material world, Prabhupada explains, then the Lord instigates the devotees, hey, you come down to fight with me. And then sometimes like Jain, Vijay and somebody like that, some of the devotees, they come down on the earth to fight. But you should note that not, and therefore it is explained that when it is said a Shishupal who merged into Krishna, he was not Jain Vijay, but he was actually a demon in this world who got liberation by merging into Krishna. And today in the lecture we discussed both sides. In the initial part we discussed how Maya is very strong and keeps us caught in this world. And in the latter part, we discussed the beautiful way to remember Krishna and we discussed about various pastimes of Lord. In the end, there is one confusing question that we hear in this world, because of our activities, we get the next body. And in the body, we perform the activity. Prabhupada says, this exactly reciprocal cause and effect chain of is Maya. This is Maya. By one thing we get another, by another thing we get another. The same thing again. By activities we get a body, by body we perform activities. Process is just like a seed and a tree. Now from a tree comes a seed and from a seed comes a tree. And exactly this is Maya which holds us into this material world. And as it is said, this pravas. This pravas means this travel. There is one verse in Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto chapter 63. Where it is said this time, our future, karma, area, our life, these are all effects of our traveling through the cycle of birth and death, means of action and reaction. By the body we perform activities and because of activities we get the next body. And same body we perform activities and again by the activities we get the next body. This pravas, this journey in this material world goes on eternally. Just like a tree and a seed, until one cuts it down and concentrates his consciousness on the Supreme Lord. Then that pravas, then that cycle of birth is cut to pieces and a soul has some scope of getting free from this material world and taking the whole trouble of sadhana bhakti and getting liberated from this material world. Hare Krishna. It's quite late, but if somebody has some comments, one small one we can take. 2 minutes are there. Just, I don't know, here that point, because I'm also inquisitive, that where Indra offered some water to Supreme Lord, anyone knows that story? Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki,